Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 1065. Thank you for joining us this morning. Almost made it through another week, counting my blessings for sure. Haven't been fired yet. The key still works on the door, on the lock. I am thrilled to be here and grateful to Sean Sullivan, who has taken over production duties here, holding my hand through this this process. But always great to be with you. Like I said, survived another week. That is pretty good sign for the future, at least for Monday, as far as I'm concerned. Still to come on the program today, State Senator Chris Elliott will join us at the bottom of the hour. Make sure that you stay tuned for that. But joining us now in studio, delighted to introduce my next guest, State Auditor Jim Ziegler. Jim, how are you today?
Good, very good. Thank you. This is the first time I've been invited on the new Jeff Poor South show. I've been on the Jeff Poor North show, but glad to have you back in God's country.
We have made the migration completely south now, so you got me here. At least till something goes awry, but I anticipate that not happening. What to get you in here? A bunch of municipal elections going on the Eastern Shore, and with this whole toll bridge issue, which you really kind of made a focus of yours, came about. You put the pressure on the local officials to get activated and active, and just opposing a toll altogether. With these municipal elections now, how big of a deal was their stance in that whole toll bridge era in 2019? Now,
well, the local officials ended up in the end blocking the toll bridge, and the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization, ESMPO, cast the vote on August 28th of last year, almost a year ago, and they voted 8-1 to take the toll out of the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Plan. And within 2 minutes of that vote, Governor Ivey put out a news release. I've never seen one put out that quickly, stating that there's no path going forward, and she pull the plug on the toll plan, which was our goal to begin with. That toll plan was the worst plan I've ever seen concocted by the minds of politicians, and that covers a lot. That covers a lot of
ground. Well, I noted it was politicians, unless you count, obviously, Governor Ivey a politician, but it seemed to come from within the bureaucracy of the state government that this was almost apolitical in some ways.
Well, ALDOT was very much behind this, and the ALDOT director.
And we don't vote on John Cooper, the ALDOT director.
No, we don't. And so it was his and Governor Ivey's plan more than anybody else, and they were simply not able to go forward with the thing being removed from the Transportation Improvement Plan, and that was a year ago. Now, the only one of the members of that board that voted yes was the ALDOT representative. The ALDOT district director is on that board, and he voted yes, but all eight of the elected officials on the board unanimously voted no, and a number of them are up for re-election a week from Tuesday, which is August 25th. When we were running the opposition to the toll bridge, we said at that time that we're going to take notes as to what officials helped us and who didn't, and that come election time we would put that information back out. Well, this is election time, so as it turns out, the people who disagree with us, the people that want to represent only the developers and the people that are getting government contracts and the toll bridges and whatever, those folks have decided to make their ground zero Fairhope, Alabama, which has a municipal election on August 25th. And they chose that ground, and they are opposing the re-election of Mayor Karen Wilson. They're running three candidates for the city council, which would compose a majority. And so we're putting this information out. We've been putting out about a week to our 52,000 plus members. And interestingly, 2,200 of them live in Fairhope. Can you imagine what kind of an effect that can have? Now, since we were blessed to beat the toll a year ago, we got involved in the vote no on Amendment 1 in the March 3rd primary, and that would have taken away the right of people to vote for or against the State Board of Education members,
right,
and make them all appointed by the governor. Well, our people were 100% against that, so we led the campaign, and we beat that thing 75% no, 25% yes. Now, that somebody in Montgomery should be humiliated by that vote. The people didn't just say no, they said heck no.
Well, and the two are related in this fashion, that we saw what happens when you don't have elected representatives involved in a toll process. And that builds up this distrust of government, state government, particularly in this part of the state. But you translate that, hey, we're the same people that messed this up. Let us take the reins here on the State Board of Education. Is that kind of the, you know, they're parallel in that way?
Well, they certainly are. And any time the people's right to vote is taken away, then the accountability drops to usually to zero. Who they're accountable to moves from the taxpaying public over to the Montgomery bureaucrats.
Right.
And so we were just so pleased to be able to lead the opposition and beat that Amendment 1. And we also noticed that Mobile County Commissioner Jared Carl had drawn up the initial resolution to remove the toll from the transportation improvement plan at the Mobile MPO, of which he's a member. And he took a lead, and we highlighted that at that time. We weren't endorsing anybody or against anybody. We just told what he did. And we told it a number of times prior to the July 14th runoff. And the people responded. And with him winning 52% to 48%, we feel like our 52,000 voters made a difference.
Well, let's backtrack on something you said that you caught my attention. You talk about the Fairhope municipal election. That seems to be, there's a lot of interest. It's very compelling, just because of all the parts and pieces of what goes on in the city of Fairhope. But you're telling me that there is a movement afoot to unseat some of the people that are in Fairhope right now, because it's tied to the bridge, but maybe tied to development. Well, hash that out for us, if you would.
Well, there is a political machine in Baldwin County, Alabama. For several years, it's been called Catalyst, a kind of an intimidating sounding name. They're a Catalyst candidate.
It's the old Lynn Stacy group, right?
Well, he's dead now, so
right. So it's
but it's continuing. They found out they'd gotten a bad impression on a lot of Baldwin County people, and so they changed their name. They pulled a slicky, and it sounds pretty harmless now. Scott Boone Consulting. And they recruit candidates, back candidates, run campaigns for candidates in municipal elections and county commission and state legislative candidates in Baldwin County. And right now, of course, their focus, and therefore our focus, they've picked Fairhope as their ground zero. They're trying to defeat Mayor Karen Wilson. They're trying to take over a lock, stock of the city council with three city council candidates. And we hope that people in Fairhope will do their homework and figure out who is accountable to the Catalyst group and not vote for them, and who are the other candidates who can be accountable to the taxpaying public.
I mean, a lot of the politics there, it just sounds like you have people that are for development, and then are kind of anti-development. Is that where the fault line is?
Well, it's not anti-development. You have some politicians and supporters of politicians who are just for unbridled, unregulated development. Now, I'm against that. And they don't care anything about preserving the lifestyle of Baldwin County, preserving the what's left of the peace and quiet, and it to be a wonderful place for families to live and recreation. They just want they would pave the entirety of Baldwin County if they could figure out how to make a dollar out of doing that. Now, that overdevelopment, unregulated development, that's what people are against, and I agree with the people.
So it's putting curbs in place there, I guess, is the idea. Like, it's the bridge was a part of that because it would have brought more people from Mobile. Just walk us through that.
Well, yes, the there are two schools of thought among our 50,000 people about the Bayway, how to get from Mobile to Baldwin County and back.
Right.
And there's one group that thinks that we definitely need a new bridge and don't need to depend on the Bankhead Tunnel and the Wallace I-10 Tunnel. There's another group that thinks, no, you can fix the I-10. You can fix the western entrance from the Mobile side into the Wallace Tunnel.
That's where the bottleneck is, if you're going around the curve, right?
That it is an engineering marvel of what not to do. And you can do certain things to make people pick up their speed. They slow down to enter from the western side, and then they don't speed back up. Well, you've got to give them better signals and ticket a few people and do a public information campaign to get people, once they get in the tunnel, to resume the speed. Also, if stay in the right lane. Unless you're passing somebody, stay in the right lane. These things, and there are various other things that can be done that could fix the Bayway. And so half our group wants to just fix the existing Bayway, and the other half want a new bridge.
Right. So within the new bridge, as long as it's not a toll bridge.
Correct. There was money to build the bridge. But when Aldott and their backers figured out that they could bring in what's called a P3 partner.
Public-private partnership.
Yes. The cost of that bridge went up to $2.1 billion. And they were going to give the investors a 55-year lease on an interstate highway. Now, that just right there turns off many, many people. I didn't realize before this that you could give somebody a lease on a portion of an interstate highway. I'm afraid President Eisenhower, who was the father of the interstate system, is turning over in his grave with the idea that his freeway would have toll bridges. And there are a few, and this would have been the worst. And they could have built this. We identified a half dozen sources of money to build the basic bridge, not the Taj Mahal bridge with all the add-ons, but in our book that we wrote about this whole movement, we identified the money.
All right, we're gonna hold you over for one more segment here and get a commercial in, and we'll talk about the Office of State Auditor when we get back. Stay tuned, folks. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. And welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. A little Leonard Skinner playing us in there on this Friday morning. Still to come on the program, State Senator Chris Elias. He will be with us in the next segment, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Still in studio with us, our good friend, State Auditor Jim Ziegler. By the way, got the book out now. It's in print. If you haven't seen the PDF, but if you want it for your bookcase, Blocking the I-10 Toll Scheme, A Successful Citizen Movement by Jim Ziegler. Tell folks where they can find this book, or should they seek it.
Well, they can get a free copy by going to our Facebook page, which is Block the Tolls, and just simply download onto whatever electronic device they use. Now, if they want a print copy, the printer likes to be paid.
Yes.
And so they can order one from the publisher, which is Lulu, LULU.com. It's a Lulu of a book. And the cost is $20.22. And, of course, that symbolizes the 2022 next state elections.
Right.
And this toll issue, we're going to bring it back up and, again, point out just the facts, who helped us and who didn't.
Let's shift gears here. The Office of the State Auditor debated in the legislature last session. There was a movement afoot to change it or do away with it.
Yes.
Give us kind of the rundown of where we are with that whole debate right now.
Well, between our supporters who support the State Auditor's Office and support me, and the COVID epidemic, we're able to beat off those two bills to abolish the State Auditor's Office. And there's every chance in the regular session of February of 2021 coming up in 7 months that we would see yet another attempt to abolish the State Auditor's Office. And strangest thing, with all the relatively quiet state auditors that didn't question every blooming thing that came by, you never saw a move to abolish the state auditors. But I get in there, and the whole time they've been messing with it. Now, when they couldn't get that done, they came back and decided our already slim budget, they'll cut it another 47%. And, man, we had to, and they did this in the dark of the night, and we had to get the troops organized very quickly during the pandemic, and we were able to moderate that, and they only cut us 11% from an already slim budget. But the 47% would have put us under.
Let's talk about the role of the state officer, the auditor, as it is constituted now. Your primary focus, or not your sole focus, if I'm getting this right, it's property. It's
that's correct. Our main duty is to inventory the roughly 300,000 items of state-owned property that cost $500 or higher each, and when I went in 5.5 years ago, we had a slim budget and a slim staff. We had 11 staff members to audit 176 state agencies every 2 years. So the legislature, in their wisdom, cut us 28.5% during the Bentley era. Of course, I had filed the initial ethics complaint against Governor Bentley, which eventually was ruled in my favor on that. And then they cut our staff in half, from 11 to 5.5. Now, the 5, that wasn't so bad, but that half an employee, that's what got us. And it's not easy, but by conserving every dollar and by smart management, we're current on all the audits of the 176 state agencies, and we've actually lowered the amount of lost and missing state property. So we've done more with less, but if we get even less than that, we may not be able to keep it up.
It's just 100. How many state agencies?
176.
That is incredible, because I would have thought 20 maybe. 176.
Yes. Now, most of them you never heard of. You know, the Manure Commission and things of
that's
of
a that real name. Thing.
No, that some.
I mean, we wouldn't put it past folks, you know.
But I should bring you a list of some of the stranger state agencies that are out there, and it's almost funny, some of them. But you know, you've heard of the big boys, ALDOT and the
right.
Department of Corrections and whatnot. But we're keeping up with it, and not only that, but we're bringing the auditing process into the 21st century with what's called RFID, radio frequency identification. Right now, we've got an old-fashioned barcode glued to every item of state property, and we'll have, instead, a chip.
Oh, well, that'll make things a lot easier. Hey, we got to scoot here. We got to get to break here, but thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you. Thank you. This is a very poor show.
Well, it is indeed. We got to take a timeout, folks. We will return. It's FM Talk 106.5.